see you coming back in here with duckie jumpsies. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained jumpsies.
How could anybody go and sit and have a pint with those boys after that?
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.
Tis the season and all that. Here's another frightening stat to sum up the extent of Dublin's dominance of Gaelic football. Owen Merchant wasn't even born when Dublin won their first All-Ireland under Jim Gavin in 2013. Welcome to the so-called Weaker Podcast. Gavin Cooney here presenting with Mark Farley and True Blue Dub Mick McCarthy.
Up the Dubs.
How are you, lads?
Ulster says lads. No for 25 minutes. That was poor.
Mark's a strong Ulster man. I'm a strong Dub. So.
But what's the relevance of 25 minutes?
Well, Tyrone winning for the first 25 minutes or so.
Okay, sorry.
Was it 22 minutes? And then they were losing after 25.
Anyway, we'll always have the first 20-odd minutes. Coming up, we have the denouement of our thrilling Rolling Ulster series, and we're going to hand out our Gaelic Football Awards, to which we've given the working title LeroDOR.ie. But first, I'm getting blank looks around the room to that. Balls on door.
Yeah, we had this as an actual award a couple of years ago. We went for on Leroy Door, but then went for Balls on Door instead.
I don't know. I always contest.
Brian Fenton and Seamus Callanan, I think, won them.
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Brian Fenton could win it again this year.
Yeah. Just to explain to people, that was actually, we mocked up the balls on, we did a Ballon d'Or type for the GAA, where we got all the GAA county managers and captains, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To vote for the player of the year. The league Hegan won the actual footballer of the year.
Yeah, it was my idea, and then I didn't do any of the work on it.
We did. It was a lot of work. Kind of bad. Danny put in most of it, I think.
Yeah. So I believe this Ball on Door award ceremony is going to be a lot quicker and more hastily put together.
Yes.
Explain it.
About 10 minutes ago. Anyway, those awards are coming up, but believe it or not, Dublin have now won 4 in a row. They're the best team we've ever seen. But not everyone's delighted for them. As a few tweeters were putting out there over the weekend.
Top 5 begrudgery tweets about the Dublin All-Ireland win. Number 5, at Michael Dignan. I said 3 years ago that Dublin could win 10 in a row, and if they win one in hurling, that they could do the same. I absolutely respect this great Dublin team, but it's gone too far. Money will never beat talent, but unlimited financials and human resources can't be beaten. Hashtag partners. Number 4, at Owen Foley. Dublin have a budget that dwarfs that of other counties, but I guess referees are expensive. Hashtag All-Ireland Final. Hashtag Dubs vs. TYR. Hashtag The Sunday Game. Number 3, at On The Nickel. Congrats, Dublin! Shows there is no reason why playing the final at home, having the biggest budget, and a quarter of the population to choose from, need not be a barrier to success. Number 2, at Digger_Forum. Between 2007 and 2017, Tyrone received €560,256 in funding, and Dublin received €16,612,847. Dublin received about 30 times the funding of Tyrone. Number 1, at Ewan McKenna. 1. It won't last forever. 2. It's a golden generation. 3. Money can't kick points. 4. Can you not just enjoy greatness? 5. You're just a bitter / jealous / a begrudger. And all the while, football dies.
Michael Dogden's there. He's picked up a bit of heat. James McCarthy, at JamesyMac26, good man, Michael. Dean Rock got in touch as well. If only you knew, Michael, ..
If only he knew what?
I don't know.
I guess
that there's more to it than money.
There's one or two of them are begrudging, I would say. Maybe they all are, but is it begrudging to say, well done, Dublin, good team, but also what's happening isn't fair at the moment?
I don't think so.
It's nothing to do with the match that's played. Like, I don't understand why we have to make this a big deal after the All-Ireland final. So it's a problem within the GAA in general and with how things are being done and funded. But the competition is on as stands, and Dublin go out and win it because they're better than everybody else.
Yeah, like, it's that thing of, when do you say it then? If people start harping on about it now in November, nobody's any interest in that. Like, it is the news cycle,
of course,
kind of thing.
But it is unfair on the players and management that just
playing. The parade's been rained on.
Yeah, but exactly.
Yeah. I think you can admire the team and still be, like, argue that this is wrong. But it is kind of that thing of, like, when is the place for it? Like, there's always that argument, like, this isn't the time and place for it. It's like, it's exactly the time and place for it.
Yeah, okay.
But it's fresh in people's memories.
I think it's probably the time and place for it. Also, there's almost nothing else to talk about, to be honest, at the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, the problem with, I mean, this is evidently a thing that's got through to Dublin now. Even Stephen Cluxton had a little go at
he did.
In his speech. And, like, you never see the Dublin players getting engaged.
No.
The only time they do is the night they win the All-Ireland.
Yeah.
It's becoming, like, one of the high points of the GAA.
He kind of trailed off a little bit, Cluxton did. He sort of said, you know, people don't say we could do this with money and population, and what they do is, you know, and then didn't even finish a sentence, and the hill just went kind of mad.
He's
talking about the county board specifically.
Imagine if Joe Canning was, like, if Galway Horrors got the same sort of begrudging tweets or whatever you want to call them, and media coverage that Dublin get. Joe Canning did win every in Ireland on his own, given that he was taking such umbrage at, like, seemingly completely inoffensive stuff that was said.
His post-match interviews would be interesting for sure.
Yeah, I think the problem with Dublin is that there's an acceptance that this is, like, an exceptional generation of players. But would it be the case if they didn't have? They'll always have population advantages. That didn't mean they were winning All Ireland between 1995 and 2011. So how natural is this amazing generation? And I'm kind of caught between two on that, because, like, the team is more or less regenerated since definitely 2011 and possibly 2013. But at the same time, if you take a couple of the defenders, they might have a little bit more trouble replacing defenders like Cooper, like McMahon, like Keane O'Sullivan. You just wonder, maybe that brings them back to the pack of it.
Yeah, we talked about this, like, earlier in the year, but Dublin, it's not a case of whether they win 10 in a row, which, by the way, they're 66-1 for, I saw on Twitter, which is an interesting number. It's not a case of that. It's a case of, this is never going away now. They're going to be semi-finalists or finalists every year, basically, for the rest of the time. You would, you know, if things remain on the somewhat the same kind of path as things are at the moment. And there's lots of reasons for that. But one of them is, there's been a massive, massive funding increase to Dublin, and that is absolutely true. But one of the reasons that they've had that funding increase is because of the way the county board kind of finally got their house in order. So the population and developed, you know, development teams and all this kind of different sort of, like, the coaching within clubs, all of that that's come from the county board, they were funded for all of that. They didn't come for free, but it's because they had the plans in place to go and do it. And that didn't happen for years. The county board in Dublin were asleep, and for them to be winning one All-Ireland between 1983 and 2011 was insane and criminal. And it's like, and in the exact same years when they were massively struggling in the other GAA sport, which now they've improved a lot in, and, you know, are making waves underage and sometimes at senior level. So it wasn't, they always had that population thing. So we can't say that, oh, that wasn't an issue before because they didn't win All Ireland's. The fact is, if they've got any kind of competence at all, the population thing is going to be the be all end all. And, you know, funding and all that is almost secondary to the fact that they've got more people than almost every other county put together.
But I would say that arguments about funding your point is very central to arguments about funding, because the point is, if they have all these people, the funding level has been disproportionate. I mean, I still think that those stats by Shane Mangan, they were doing their rounds maybe at the end of 2016, they've the third highest investment per head of player, you know. So, and I think there's an acceptance within the GA that we did give them too much money, because they've begun redressing that now, where they're pumping in extra funds to three or four county, different counties every year. I can't remember, was it Louth or Waterford or Wicklow? So I need to check the accounts, but I can't remember who got it last year. But that is.
I don't disagree with any of that. I'm saying that there's an element of not being able to do anything about it. I feel like they can fix the funding. And I feel like that other counties have caught up in a lot of other ways. Like Kerry just won 5 minor All-Irelands in a row, and it's because they now do what Dublin were doing 10 years ago at underage county structures. You know, so there's lots of things that will change. And I'm saying that if the Dublin County Board are acting in any way competently, this should not really end. Maybe they don't win 10 in a row, but they should be winning All-Irelands almost all the time from now on.
I don't know. I think you might... Is there a possibility, looking back at this year, as one where we actually, where it was the beginnings of something, though, in the GAA in terms of stopping Dublin? Like, before, you had a Kerry team at the end of the road trying to stop them, and then a Mayo team that seemed to defy all logic in how close they'd come to stopping them. Whereas now you've got a Tyrone team that I think are going to get better, and a Galway team that are going to get better, and a Kerry team that are going to get better. And possibly Mayo won, I don't know, maybe Mayo, it depends on how Mayo go with the new manager, they could fall away. But like, if you look at that, like say bar Monaghan, the age profile is all good for any of them, like the top, say they're the top four teams, five teams if you count Kerry there. Like, I don't know, there's something.
Yeah, but the problem is when we talk about age profiles, then you look at the age profile of the Dublin team,
yes,
and it's getting younger.
But look at,
it's staying around the same, isn't it? Like, same. As an overall thing, I mean, since 2011, it hasn't gone up at all. This isn't a team at the end of the road either.
There's a couple of different aspects of that. Where, like, one, they haven't had the underage success that the likes of Kerry have had, or Galway even, in recent years. Secondly, the problem is with, like, again, Michael Hannan, who I always reference here, is Colin Nagleseld was on last week saying that, like, if Galway didn't play Dublin this year in the championship, it would have been a wasted year, because it wasn't it's not about trying to beat Dublin this year, but you need to keep playing Dublin every year in the championship to get good enough to beat them.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Tyrone. Tyrone have managed, they've gotten now, like, look how far Tyrone have progressed in terms of trying to beat them compared to last year alone.
Yeah.
And they got another 2 games this year against them. Galway got a game where...
But they're not near them, though. That's the... Like, they're not really. They're like Dublin. Them. I feel Dublin would have won that game 10 out of 10. And...
Yeah, but they're nearer than them. They were. I'm saying just, like, in the next few years. That, like, maybe Dublin win it again next year. But then maybe they only win 2 out of the next 6.
I think that's very optimistic.
No,
based on what based on the evidence we have.
I agree, yeah. And I see, like, what you're saying is an interesting way to come at it, is that... You know, this is the first time that the closest teams to them, Galway and Tyrone, are up and coming.
Yeah,
that's the first, and I completely get that. But you also have to admit that this is the first time that they've been head and shoulders above everybody, because those other teams, they're a good bit better than those other teams, and they weren't necessarily a good bit better than Kerry in 11. And that early era, and Mayo all the way through. That's the easiest All Ireland they've had. It's also they an average win this year, 12.9 points, which is the highest they've had. Easily the easiest All Ireland final they won. There's lots of things that suggest that it's actually getting away. The reason that the two teams closest to them are young and up and coming is because there's no team of the class of that Kerry or Mayo team.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. That there is no one now, but that in years to come, we might look back and go, "Jesus, that was the beginning of."
But again, well, we don't know that yet.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. There could be, but also, I don't know. It could just be false.
I was going to describe you as a glass half full man, but as a Cavan man, it's the glass is twice as big as it needs to be.
Are we sorry though about it?
Are we sorry?
It seems like there's an awful lot of negativity about this.
There's a negativity because, you know, it's lost its competitiveness. It's similar enough to me, to be honest, to the hurling championship 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That Kilkenny, I didn't like that Kilkenny team at all.
But is the Hurling Championship, like, that's what I was actually thinking there, even when I mentioned it, was like, if, so say the Hurling is great this year, and you've got some brilliant teams, but like, if Kilkenny were as good as the Kilkenny team in the 2000s, would that like, would they just be a cut above everyone at the minute? Do you know, or if they were, like, if Kerry were that good, like, that's kind of maybe that, the way I'm looking at it is, like, all these up-and-coming teams, the other way looking at it is, if you didn't have Dublin, wouldn't it be great? You have, like, Tyrone, Galway, Kerry, all these young teams coming, you've got whoever else, Monaghan, whoever.
I was thinking about that this morning, actually, on the way to work, randomly. I was thinking, if we don't know when we look back in history, what were the bad years? Like a random example, I don't actually believe this, just the first year I'm thinking of, when Derry beat Cork in the All-Ireland final in 93, and it was their only year doing it, it was like, did it just turn out there was no great teams that year? And, you know, like, you don't know, it's really hard to judge in history, like, of you know, Galway in 98 or something like that, you know, again, I'm picking out good teams, so it is a problem, but there are years, like Kerry won a couple in the mid-2000s, when maybe just football was shit.
Mm. Yeah. We need to send Dublin on some sort of, like, enter them into the World GA Championships next year. Like, United, after they won the treble, and before they couldn't enter the FA Cup, where, like, they can't enter the All-Ireland.
Yeah, maybe leave Dublin out of the league. This, like, have the Dublin Senior Championship as Division 1 of the league.
Yep.
And then have Division 2 be all the other counties.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say, though, is, like, there's a part of me that didn't hate that Kilkenny team. And I was there in 2010... being probably the only non-Kilkenny person in the stadium who wanted them to win the 5 in a row.
Okay.
Because I thought that there's something historic about it. And I kind of wanted...
That's interesting.
And you know...
Is there a part of
I don't like Tiger Woods personally. I never really liked him. But when I watched him play golf in his prime, I always wanted him to win because I felt like when I'm older, I'll remember watching the best that it ever was. And I can tell my kids about it or whatever. You know, this kind of romantic nonsense about sports sometimes. But it works both ways. Sometimes it's wanting the underdog to do the amazing Seamus Darby thing. Mm. But other times it's, that was the greatest team that ever lived and I saw them play.
Mm.
And there's a little bit of that in this Dublin team. You know, we talk about the Kerry team and I used to watch videos of them when I was a kid. And I never saw them in real life though or live. Whereas I've seen this Dublin play all of their 6 All-Ireland finals and I feel like there's something historic about it and I do understand that we need a competitiveness and we need some interest and it was the dullest All-Ireland final build-up and post-match I've ever seen but at the same time it's like in 20 years will we be talking about how great it was that I don't know, James McCarthy won these 6 All-Irelands, you know, or 10 All-Irelands or whatever he ends up with.
I think you need somewhere in the middle and that's why I think everyone was planning for Mayo at the weekend. You need what is thought as a worthy adversary to really show that these are truly the greats because they're really tested and there's a little bit of jeopardy.
Yeah, like Kilkenny had Tip, like, you know, so even though they beat them almost every single time, they were the one they were afraid of or whatever.
Yeah, but we've talked about changing, like I've listened to arguments, but we have to change football structures and rules and stuff after hammerings, after boring games where it was 2-2 draws, even though they were competitive. We've listened to, like, there's so many different reasons that have been put forward to why we need to change the game. But there is no more, like there's no stronger reason to changing the rules of Gaelic football than pining for Mayo. Like when you hear those words, you know your sports bollocksed.
Well, if you need Mayo to save it.
Yeah.
I disagree. I think Mayo have been the best team for the last few years. They say,
well, they clearly haven't because another team has won 6 of the last 8 All-Irelands and Mayo have won 0.
That's a very random barometer.
Mayo have won none of those All-Irelands, not even one.
At many situations in life, could you be sitting there and be like, do you know what I need, what we need now is we need an insertion of Mayo into this conversation.
Well, that's what I thought during the game. Cashing in their money in the bank but about 5 minutes ago, Dublin still would have beat them.
Yeah, money messing, it would have been great.
Do you think, honestly, in a wacky world where Dublin were only allowed to use the same 20 players, that if they had beaten Tyrone in 70 minutes and a final whistle went and then they threw in again against Mayo, would they have lost?
They would have, yeah.
Yeah. But there's
10 or 15 points.
There's an interesting rule change that could probably wouldn't be brought in all seriousness. And it could just, I wonder how much of an effect it would have on, like we were pointed out with Tyrone and Galway, and the amount of players have used. What if you had to name your 26 man panel at this, or even 30, at the start of the year before the league, and you couldn't use anyone else? So Dublin can't go out and play a load of random lads throughout the whole. Although I suppose they were playing people who were still going to be on their panel to come championship. It was just that they were playing the subs.
It's a benefit to Dublin and almost nobody else.
If the GAA is to be a amateur organization that, like, you know, there's going to be natural elitism, but you always try and weed that out if possible and try and have the best that it can be. It's going to be based on a county system that you're not really allowed to move from or choose who you play for, so it's unfair on certain things. What about a handicap system? Dublin have 25 times the population of Leitrim. They have resources, whatever. So they play Leitrim and they have to win by 26 points. There's a mathematical equation that comes into it. So I know we weren't going to say, let's talk about how we change Gaelic football, but I think I've just nailed it here now.
Yeah.
A handicap system where Dublin have to win all their... Well, everyone. So Kerry have to beat Clare by 12 points.
Yeah, it could work. I'm so exhausted by thinking of better ways to run the championship at this stage.
It's better than not being able to cross your halfway line.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose. Come here, let's talk about how this actual All-Ireland final was won. Sure, I've crunched the numbers and we're going to loyally regurgitate them as we usually do. Mark, what are we looking at?
Yeah, well, there's a few different things stuck out. Obviously, kickouts and scoring chances. Kickouts probably didn't play... It played a huge role in the... In that 5 minute spell, which lost them the game, I suppose, but probably would have lost it anyway. I think, I don't know if, like, Dublin had that massive turnaround that we know it changed in the space of 5 minutes, but like it was a case of would they just have come back gradually throughout the game if not. But Tyrone actually stuck right on average nearly for the entire season. They won 18 out of their own 24 kickouts, which was a 75% success rate compared to their average of 78% throughout the year. So, like, they actually did fairly well bar that spell, because I think they lost 3 or 4 in a row. So if you take that into account, that's for the rest of it, then they had, you know, they only lost 2 kickouts, basically, or 3 throughout the whole rest of the game. So that, but again, that was really telling. Whereas Dublin, they lost a couple, and it's that thing again of when Stephen Tuckson actually loses the kickout, it becomes such a huge deal, or loses 1 or 2, that it's like, whoa, he's having a meltdown.
I was on my feet when he put that one over the side.
Yeah, that's that. So the Stephen Tuckson meltdown lasted for all of 2 kickouts. They won 29 out of the 31 kickouts,
that,
which is
like, that Tyrone stat's interesting, because the general vibe after it was Tyrone actually did all right. They probably did as well as they had been doing all year, but they just couldn't stick it.
So they did. They were both kind of on average, like I was saying. They were 75% for Tyrone. Their season average is 78%. Dublin, though, get better in finals. They're 86% kickout retention rate for the season up until that point, but they had a 93% That's retention rate in the final.
Yeah.
The same again with...
just briefly on kickouts, it's interesting that this keeps happening. All Ireland finals keep turning on kickouts. You think of 2014, you could arguably say 2016, when Henley's played instead of Clark.
Yeah.
But that was down to kickouts as well, if that's the reason that Henley was picked for that game.
So. Yeah. Definitely. That's why we keep always harping on about them, I suppose. But the other thing is,
Shane Curran thinks anyone could do it. They're easy.
What? Kickouts?
He says that Cluxon's only in the Dublin team because he's famous.
What?
He's the man that never gives an interview.
Shane Curran tweeted this after. He said that Cluxon barely should be on the Dublin team. He's not a good shot stopper. He's not good under high balls, and anyone can do kickouts. And he definitely shouldn't be playing the team of the year.
Like, the thing with the Tyrone, with Dublin, everyone's like, all right, well, Dublin went from man to man and then changed to marks only, and that's why Tyrone lost kickouts. But if you look at why don't everybody just do that against Dublin? But you look at the actual, Morris has a piece up, I think it's called The 5 Minutes That Won Dublin the All-Ireland or something, the headline on balls. He's got screen grabs of them kickouts, and there's like 4 Tyrone defenders in the full back line and 3 Dublin forwards covering the zonal press. Now, it makes it difficult. Like, if you can set yourself up that, like, say, most goalkeepers in Ireland, maybe every goalkeeper bar Morgan, Cluxton, don't have the confidence to go short with someone who's in only in a yard of space or 2 yards of space. But the difference being is that Cluxton will just pick out one of them. If you've got 4, once he sees a numerical advantage or sees someone with a yard of space, he'll pin it on them. Like, there's all you need. You'd see sometimes Dublin players will just take a step back from the man they're marking, let the defender / forward who's defending for a kick out is out in front doing a good job out to the side, and next thing you'll see the Dublin player just back off a little, because all he needs he knows Cluxton can measure it to the nearest yard, that your man just can't get up for the ball and lands in the Dublin player's arms.
The Cluxton is overrated is a kind of, is the revisionist hot take.
Can I read out?
I can't.
Can I read out Curran's thing? Because just because it is pretty funny and probably should have been in the begrudging tweets that we did earlier. Speaking and giving opinion as a goalkeeper, is Tomás O'Shea on speed? # Sunday game. Cluxton's performance this year, at best average, poor in the air, poor shoot stopping. Goals conceded even today. It was a penalty into the corner. I don't know what he could have done about it. Very average. KOs, kickouts. Team give up opportunity, I guess. No skill required.
Cluxton could have done the kick and the penalty was brilliantly saved, like he did against Comer in the semi-final. That was because Cluxton was in the Sunday Games Team of the Year rather than Began.
Yeah. Aidan O'Hara asked him, from the Indo, asked him, no skill required for kickouts, rather, like, you know, fairly perfect tweet. Very little when teams can't compete physically, quite simple if you're competent. Now, I don't know. I mean, I my memories of Shane Curran kickouts are running back, like, you know, hitting your studs off the post to get the muck off them and then running up and booting it out from the 14. But, like, I mean, that's unfair, perhaps. And, I don't know. He was doing more
nuanced
stuff with Bridget's.
But his kickouts. But, like, Cluxton will just... He puts it on a sixpence.
Yeah.
So, and other... Like, Morgan isn't the worst forward, but he just had... He's the perfect example of it, actually, because he's the one who nearly tries to do it as close to Cluxton as he can. But it's just so easily then your confidence can just... plummet, as you see. You just have a bit of a capitulation and lose it. But
I think it was Oisín McConville was talking about this, that, like, to do those kickouts, you can hit a few beauties, but the skill is to do every single time.
Yeah.
It's not about whether you're able to kick a nice kickout or not, or pick out a man. It's that you have to have the consistency to do it every single time you kick the ball out, which is 31 times or 30...
29 times out of 31 compared to 18 times out of 24. Like, I mean, and again, some of them lost probably is a player's fault, whatever you say. Maybe Morgan was responsible for two, maybe three.
Big ones.
They're big ones.
So anyway,
the other one then was scoring chances from play. I mean, everybody, I think, saw this. You were just like, so many times you just wanted to put your head in your hands, go, what were you doing? And this is the thing of, like, again, finals, you'd assume that people don't play as well. Dublin are kind of bang on average. They scored 14 out of 25 scoring chances from play. So that's 56%. Their average for the year is 61%, which is basically the difference in that is if they had one less wide or shot drop short, they would have been on 61% again. Whereas Tyrone were 55% for the year, but only 38% on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
They only scored 9 out of their 24 scoring chances from play.
Their minds rattled.
I don't even think you need to discuss this. It was plain for all to see. It was like, what are you doing?
And is there a stat in here for putting Colm Cavanagh full forward too late? And then when you do, only kick it into him twice, which resulted in 1-1. And they didn't do it any other times.
Who kicked that ball over the bar? He wasn't even meaning to score.
No.
It was either McCann or Hampsey. They said McCann in commentary, but then I think it might have been actually Hampsey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was some point.
He caught a flyer. That
was nearly at the halfway line, though. That was some point. He meant that. I thought that before. It's like you shape up differently to take a shot, but sometimes if you're launching in on the square, you'll see you're like, if that just went like with a shape up to make a foot pass, and it's like an extra yard. If it'd been aiming an extra yard, that could go over the bar. Yet if you went for a shot from there, it'd balloon wide.
There was 1 point scored in the first half, actually. It was almost the complete opposite of this, but it was from outside the 45. Was it, I can't remember what Tyrone player it was, number 15?
McAliskey. Why am I calling him McAliskey?
Yeah. I call him McAliskey. But he was just sort of like, he was looking around, no pass on, and he just said, fuck it, and booted it over the bar, and it went, and it was just like, why do players not do that? I just don't understand how footballers don't trust themselves.
To be fair, though, that was one of them where
Kieran McDonald style.
Oh, no, another one of these, like a stupid shot. Like, Slutton did the exact same
thing.
But
if you're in the middle and you're facing up under no pressure, I think, whereas you had one in the second half of a guy running out the side, and Tyrone were getting back into it. It was back to four or five points after the goal. And he was running out basically towards the stand at full pace and decided to do that left-footed shot on the run up into the air. And you said, there's not a hope in hell this is going to
can be
bar.
Difficult,
though. McManaman goes down the other end, game over.
Yeah, straight in front of the goal can be difficult, though, because it's like there's too much decision making to be made on the spot as well of what way to approach it. Like outside the boot, straight, left, or instep, whatever. But aside from that, turnovers won. Tyrone actually won more. Like we were talking about last week, that Dublin...
Yeah. One stat they won was the stat we predicted them to win.
Exactly.
Rob Carroll predicted
that. So there it goes again. And this period, place ball converted. Tyrone didn't miss one, actually. Got 6 from 6. Dean Rock got 5 from 7. But I think what was interesting with that was he missed those two. You're like, all right, Dean Rock's head is melted now. And then he turned around and scored two ridiculous points.
He got 3 points within, I'd say, 15 minutes after that. Yeah, from play.
He's a habit of missing the first one. I think that happened last year's All-Ireland. That he missed the first one.
The second one was a bad one. You're like, uh-oh. And Dublin were, was it 1-5 to a point? There was 17 minutes gone, and I think like there was 17 minutes gone, 18 minutes gone maybe, and it was a 1-5 to a point. I think maybe they'd got a second one, and Dublin had missed 7 chances. They dropped 2 short, I think maybe kicked 5 wide, and you're like, this is weird. And 5 minutes later, they were leading by, it's 2 goals scored.
Yeah.
Amazing.
The only last one just in that was...
That was brilliant by Dublin. We should really talk, like, I mean, we're keep talking about them being better than everyone else. Why are they better than everyone else? That 10-minute burst was perfect football.
Yeah.
And even so much as so as what they did to Morgan's kickouts, as well as what they did when they got the ball. It was brilliant.
Tyrone probably as well were looking at this game going, let's not concede frees in the opposition half. Let's not just give Dublin frees or Dublin points, because that's what's going to happen with the D-Rock. Did well, only gave away... How many did they give away? They gave away 8. So like 5 scorable ones. Or 7 scorable ones, which isn't too bad. I suppose it is.
It isn't. And there's some stupid ones, like the time when McCaffrey was pushed out over the line when the ball was going nowhere. And that set up Scully's goal, I think.
Mm.
Or maybe it was the penalty. It's just there's so many, just really, really, your head's not tuned in here decisions. Kind
of,
you know?
But it's also a spin-off of how they approach the game. Like, they did commit quite a number of players forward relative to what we expected, so that leaves the man to man.
I'd like to distance myself from my previous comments there as well. I don't know what I'm saying here.
Hey, Mark, don't worry, man. Everybody knows.
6, 7 scorable frees. That wasn't too... Oh, wait, no, it is. That's 7 points.
Thanks to Sure, the official statistics partner of the GA, for giving us those stats both today and throughout the year as we go on our merry way on hiatus. But we've got another half hour or so still to come, and we're going to start... if Shane Kern was annoyed with the Sunday game team of the year, wait till he hears our rolling All-Stars.
Nobody counted us in all year. The media.
Where did this ferocious determination out there today come from?
The media.
So the rolling All-Stars have stopped rolling. They are now a static collection of All-Stars.
The brakes have been put on.
Will we run through 1 to 15?
Let's do it.
In goals... Not Stephen Cluxton, as we argued only minutes ago, but Graham Brody of Leash.
Yeah, hard to argue with that. I mean,
I wanted Began, but Morris decided Brody was the man. Fair enough.
I think we are the SoCo Wigger podcast. I think we should be slightly jaundiced.
Brody has been the best all round goalkeeper in both terms of shot stopping, contribution from play, and kickouts. I think Began and Cluxton lose possible marks from. Cluxton contribution from play, which I mean is it very hard to criticise the goalkeeper on, but Brody and even Began to a lesser extent have sort of brought this into importance. And then Began and Cluxton, I think, ranked lower in terms of shot stopping. One, because they had probably fewer shots to stop, but also say the Clifford goal, I always wonder why was there a Monaghan defender on the near post rather than Began be on the near post, and the ball kind of went in between the two of them. And then Cluxton, I suppose the Galway goal. Like, these are only little small criticisms, but just when you're trying to, when you have to pick between three,
Brody made about 15 saves in one game against Monaghan alone. That probably isn't getting enough coverage.
Yeah, full back line. Morris is by the way, dear friend Morris Brosnan did these. He's made one change to the full back line. Owen Bone Gallagher stays. I think everybody assumes that's right. Sunday game picked him. Probably going to win an actual loss here. Drew Wiley stays at full back. And then out goes Michael McKernan at 4, and in comes Pádraig Hamsay, presumably for accidentally scoring the point of the year.
Interesting that we've no dubs in the number 1 to 4 here. I don't know who you'd be putting in. Like, I mean, you know,
Keenan Sullivan,
definitely not Keenan Sullivan. Very poor semi final and final.
Johnny Cooper, I think, was not great.
And you're looking at then
Philly
Merchant.
Didn't have his great year. Yeah. Owen Merchant.
It's more running around the pitch following. Likes Ryan McHugh. It's hard to know with cornerbacks.
Hamsay has been good, and Morris, I think if you listen to last week's podcast, Morris made a really, really good case for Hamsay in our interview, when we were talking about Tyrone and how they matched up to Dublin and whether they should have any, well, there would be any Tyrone players in the combined team. So they needed a pretty good final as well.
Yeah.
Halfback line, I think the Sunday game panel we're reading this. Carl O'Connell is there, he stays. James McCarthy is there, he stays. And Jack McCaffrey stays.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's not argue that's about
an outrageous halfback.
How dare Jack McCaffrey be in a team? Oh, wait, no.
Is McCaffrey fair choice for man of the match in the final, by the way?
Thought so. Yeah. Thought Howard was. Should have been.
I thought Mannion
more in the conversation.
See, Mannion, it was Mannion or Fenton for me actually ahead of Fenton McCaffrey. Was just everywhere. Yeah. Every time Dublin needed anything, it was just Fenton was there. Mm. It was Roy Keane-esque. But Mannion, like, there was a moment when Mannion, he did a lot of things in big moments. Like, he scored a really good point right when they needed him to. Obviously, they got the penalty and actual finish. But there was a moment when he's running back. And you're thinking this was like Johnny Cooper or someone, and the Tyrone guy. It looks almost like it's a goal chance,
yeah,
and he just his angle of run just blocked off the guy, got it, cleared, turned, perfect pass out, and you're like, that's really good defending by Paul Mannion.
Mm. He did the same.
How did he end up there?
Yeah.
The only thing I thought with that was that you'll see other full people in the full forward line doing that, like in every county. That's being begrudging, I suppose.
We're talking about a man of the match performance. Yeah. He just did well, and
generally, yeah.
I think RT probably just picked McCaffrey for the content. He can't every single at an All Ireland banquet. He can't help but go viral.
He's such a great player, though, isn't he? Like
he's one of my favorite.
Bursts forwards at such speed and begins attacks, often finishes them himself. He actually missed two really good scoring chances.
The first one he missed when Dublin were behind. That one, though, the build up to that was outrageous. He got the ball and he was solo with it at what looked like full tilt for any normal human being. And then you could see he kind of was looking around the pass and went, actually, you know what? I'll just go myself. And then just put the skates put the skates on. The opposite of put the skates on. Or just put the skates on to go faster.
Yeah, skates on. Jesus, Mark. Brakes if you want to slow down.
Put the skates on. I was right then the first time. I just flew.
Brian Fenton.
I've
been out
a bit
sick
tired
for a good while, yeah.
Hasn't slept well.
He was in a car crash. Brian Fenton and Colin Kavanagh in midfield.
Can't argue with that.
Colin Kavanagh, maybe, if he was full forward, Tyrone could have won the other.
Brian Harrod stays at number 10. I'd be giving Brian Howard player of the year for that catch. There at the end of the final.
Yeah.
Holy God. Morris picked Kieran Kilkenny at 11.
Yep.
Niall Sludden stays at 12. And then full forward line.
Niall Sludden didn't have the greatest final.
No,
I don't think so.
Discussed
I don't know who you're putting in instead of him. Yeah, but, that was you know, the final should always matter a lot when it comes to getting
it should, an but it was just like, who do you put in instead of him? Because you're basically just saying then it's either Conor Hanlon or Niall Scully. Niall Scully is probably harshly done by just because he doesn't do the stuff that is going to get lots of attention. So maybe he has done his job. Perfectly.
Like Shane Walsh is another, he's knocking around this. He hasn't been in it. So and obviously he's not going to get moved in today if you've already picked.
I think Conn had a very underrated year and especially an underrated final. I actually thought he was a nominee for Man of the Match. What are you laughing at?
I'm just thinking of if we're talking about moments of the game. I'm sorry, I wasn't laughing at what you were saying. I agree with you. He wasn't as good as he was last year.
I think his role's changed.
There was a brilliant moment for the second Dublin goal where I thought he got fouled and it should have been a penalty. And referee obviously immediately said no and decided he wasn't giving Dublin another penalty so soon after, you know. But instead of tackling him or doing something about it, you see in the replay, a lot of Tyrone lads run towards the umpire, kind of doing diving motion and X motions for not a penalty. Meanwhile, Conn just kind of gets up onto his knees, has a kind of a look around and hand passes casually to Scully, who scores the goal. And you see all this in the slow motion replay and you're like, this is really not good defending by Tyrone at all.
It's a really good dummy though, just before that we didn't see enough of. Anyway, full forward line, Paul Mannion's in there. He was in there before. Ian Burke stays there. I think that's fair enough. Good year for Ian Burke.
Yeah, he was in there. Again, you're not going to put any relics in from him from the final. I don't think there was anyone who made a late burst. And I presume Morris is kind of looking at it going Walsh or Burke. And he thought Burke had a better year than Walsh. Presented, I think he had the most assists or something of anyone in the championship up to the semi-final, and probably still, I don't think anyone would have overtaken it in the next 70 minutes. So, yeah, he's probably perhaps a better outside shout for the Galway forward than Walsh.
And David Clifford, by the way, where's number 15?
Yeah.
Who had an insane year. In fairness,
Clifford, like he's going to be a pleasure to watch for a while. You can't say Gaelic football is dying when David Clifford just played his first season in championship football.
Yeah, the other it's interesting. Who should get young player of the year? Brian Howard or Clifford?
Howard won the All Ireland.
Yeah, probably Howard. I have to say that catch at the end. Sucker for me. Mainly it's because the most recent thing I can remember either of them doing.
You'd say that and Howard he won the All Ireland, but at the same time, Clifford was nearly dragging Kerry through that Super 8s on his own.
We should address the goal. Look, Clifford getting that goal against Monaghan is the moment of the championship.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Is it?
The fact that who it was, poor Monaghan, it happening to them again, a comeback like that, it dramatic. Whoever scores a goal when you need a goal, like in the last second of the last it's kick of the game. It never happens.
It's like Tony Kroos scoring that goal for Germany, that free kick in Sweden.
And then
it was just, the amazing thing, and then the pointless. Next week everybody else fucks up and there was no point to it.
We should just address the slight controversy of not having... Well, first of all, I would say that Dean Rock is slightly unfair of him not to be on an All-Star team. I would agree with it. You know, he did score 4 points in the All-Ireland final again from play. But Conor McManus, Morris's agenda against him all season, which isn't an agenda at all. But I think what people have to remember is that sometimes it's about consistency and in play. And Conor McManus had a lot of games where he didn't score much from play, despite being a scoring forward this year. And if you're up against the three players that we mentioned in the full forward line, that would be his reasoning. I'm talking on his behalf, though, so I obviously don't have as nuanced reasons as he would offer. But I think there's a chance that Conor McManus gets nominated for Player of the Year.
Yeah,
and he's not in our All-Star team, so I think it's probably worth mentioning.
Out there,
McManus is probably the best forward in Ireland.
Yeah.
The team that got to the semi-final.
And so, his performance against Kerry alone was almost worthy of All-Star. Like, it was just so bloody good.
Well, anyone out there that does have a problem, do get in touch and we'll send you Morris's personal home address to sort it out.
123 Fake Street.
We were talking about Player of the Year Award. Let's get involved now with some awards of our own.
It's back once again by a Noel McGrath. Back once again, it comes here to the number two. Back once again to Conor Loftus. Once again through one person to another. But back once again there to Brian Stack. One back once again here. Back once again to Billy McMahon this time. There's a chance for Mayor now just to build it from the back once again. Back once again towards back once again. Back once again. Back once again.
Okay, here we go. These are the big ones.
The balls
big
on ones. Doors.
I mean, we said
the reinvented.
What are the balls on door 2.0? What's the title?
What would we call it? The
how about the
forgotten GA moment of the year buzz.ie awards,
or the so-called weaker awards?
So-called
Gavin, what's the first award?
The so-called weaker. The so-called weaker awards, the squads.
We've got Sean Gannon here to present the first award.
First up is the, although Dublin won the All-Ireland, here's our Mayo Player of the Year award. And it goes to Dermot O'Connor.
Yep.
Because you know, Dublin keep winning All-Irelands and Mayo keep winning Player of the Year.
There was a time when we were in here that Gavin actually advocated for Dermot O'Connor to win Player of the Year.
Having, to get into the All-Stars.
Having lost in the qualifiers.
I think there was also a time when Dermot O'Connor couldn't get into the Mayo team this year. Was there? Was that last year?
He just kept getting
but his performance against Kildare was definitely the best individual performance I've seen this year.
Shamefully overlooked in the Rolling All-Stars, actually. But anyway.
He could have been 12.
He could have been. Who did we give 12 to?
Giving out about Niall Sutton. I feel like I'm being harsh on Niall Sutton here.
Our next award, the Best All-Ireland Final Tradition Award, goes to John Small's red card.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I would say that a strong contender for that, possibly second place, was John Small trying to get somebody sent off in an All-Ireland final, which he went for as well. But, you know, maybe it was his own red card that really sealed it for him.
Our next award, the Surely This Is Rock Bottom for Cork Football Now award, goes to... Cork football.
Cork, wow.
Wow.
It's surely rock bottom for them now.
Having conceded 318 to Kerry, they went and let in 320 to Tyrone. Every year they hope it's rock bottom, which is actually quite an optimistic view, actually, that surely it can't get any worse.
I like that.
And every year it gets worse.
Every year somehow it gets worse. I like that what happened this year that might have been a new low, a new rock bottom, was that a county that have won the All-Ireland more recently than 28 other counties decided that we're literally making the excuse that they're not a football county and that hurling only matters, and basically giving up the ghost, deciding that not only has this gone so bad that we need to change things to fix it, it's got so bad we don't even want to bother anymore.
Get about it.
Forget about it.
They have, we think this might be rock bottom because they have begun to address it. They've set up a subcommittee to develop a long-term plan for Cork football. I'm reading on a Cork website here.
So why wouldn't they set up a first team committee? This is the problem, setting up subs.
Tracy Kennedy. Oh, dear. County chairperson Tracy Kennedy, and on it are Graham County, Brian Cuthbert, and Conor Coonan. So perhaps that's the turning point.
But that subcommittee will be a centre of mediocrity.
The Lazarus couldn't kick points like Colin Corkery Award for comeback of the year goes to Keane O'Neill.
Corkery should be on that subcommittee.
Keane O'Neill went a full year of only losing games. That's literally all they did.
Yeah.
And over in Newbridge, you know where now he's going to be unreeling in the ears.
He went from being shown the door to being shown his own personal edition of Reeling in the Years 2018.
I love that Reeling in the Years becomes the barometer for how mad or amazing your year has been.
This is the GAA's year. This is the year they're going to dominate Reeling in the Years. And through no.
Will they? We'll have Trump. You've only got about 26 minutes now, right?
No, but they'll package it all together. They'll get this, the Liam Miller tribute stuff.
Yeah.
The Newbridge You're Nowhere. It'll blend into the Hurling Championship. I actually think that 2018 will be the first Reading in the Years that doesn't show the football at all.
I think they'll show the goal, the winning goal or whatever, but then they might do an extra bit for Limerick, and I think that's all it'll make it.
Mm.
We'll find out nearly next year because they stupidly make it. Or like the end of next year.
Yeah.
They stupidly make it as it happens.
Ah, sure. I was like after this year's All-Ireland final, I was fairly nostalgic for last year's All-Ireland final, so I wouldn't mind a dose reeling in the years 2017.
The Neely Hughes Award for Inappropriate Title goes to the Super 8.
Wonderful. Yeah.
What are our final opinions now in the Super 8?
I think they're pretty much just the 8s.
Yeah, I think, could they be the Super Sixes? I don't know how you get it down. I have it as like one sort of group and have 5 games in it, something, I don't know, make it into more of a league format.
I don't know if we need dead rubbers in August, you know, and we had Dublin putting out a second team in Croke Park against Roscommon. Like, that's a bit pointless, you know. Yeah. I don't understand how we can have unimportant games at that end of the season. Maybe we'll get lucky next year and all the teams will be a little bit more even matched or whatever. Yeah, the fixture list will be better, but it's annoying. Like,
you can't keep changing willy-nilly, but it would have been much better if it was the Super Fours, in all seriousness.
What do you mean?
Like, if you got down to the semi-finals, say, we kept playing and you had the exact same 4 semi-finalists. Like, I would have liked to see like Tyrone against Dublin, Galway against Dublin, Monaghan against Dublin, Monaghan against Galway again. Like, they were all the good games and they were all been evenly enough contested, maybe by the Dublin ones, but
I don't know.
Top 2
I'm beginning
final.
To think that Ryan Robbins at that stage of the competition doesn't really make sense.
Yeah,
to be
probably
honest.
Not.
But the big disappointment were the games that allegedly took place in Croke Park at the same time as the World Cup final. I don't think anyone saw them, so it might not have happened. But that, in all seriousness.
What games were they, actually?
Kerry Galway.
Who
was it? Monaghan Kildare?
Monaghan Kildare, but it was on early, which was not right. Monaghan Kildare also took place at the same time as Limerick and Kilkenny, which was the other problem.
Yeah.
God, that was a great day of sport if you weren't watching Gaelic football.
The Jim McConnelly Award for Interference with an Official Mark, I think this is your baby.
That one goes to Kevin McStay.
Yeah. Who got involved just before he had to go to Croke Park for that dead rubber against.
Exactly. Against but everybody likes Kevin McStay, so nobody really paid
attention. We do have now the official tweet of Dublin GAA fans for the rest of history is every time there's a screen grab of a fingertip slightly touching off an official in any way, it's, where's the 12 weeks? They're not wrong, but...
Here's another Jeremy Connolly Award for Colm Inch's dedicated to playing in spite of not playing at all. Goes to...
Jeremy Connolly?
Jeremy Connolly, yeah.
Wow. Congrats.
I asked that even though I was the one that made that award.
The Jeff Stanley and Chris Kamara Award for British convert to Gaelic Games goes to Arlene Foster.
Well earned, well deserved.
Who went to the Ulster football final. Almost all game breakout, almost.
Fermanagh lost, so she went home devastated and maybe he's given up on Gaelic Games entirely now.
Or maybe it was just the first and last thing she needed to convince her that there should be a United Ireland. She's fallen in love with the game. And we're going to have a 32-county republic and all our hedges are going to be well kept.
Is that in the constitution?
I like that
our hedges would be well
kept. Oh, no, if you go up the north, you'll always tell the Catholic houses, apart from the Protestant houses, because the Protestant houses have hedges that are really well kept.
So the Catholic houses have better hedges?
No, Protestant.
Well, infamously, like, Catholics had to put hedges to use for schools and other things.
So that's probably why they let them grow.
That's probably the hangover.
We'll get some nice design on our footpath curbs as well. Looking forward to that.
The Michelle Mulhern Award for needless polish kicking around an All-Ireland final goes to that man. That limitless source of content that is Shane Ross.
A good award season, I will imagine, for Shane Ross coming up in Irish sport.
Shane Ross is going to have to build a trophy cabinet.
Yeah. I mean, he's a he's got natural advantages, you know, by the fact that he's Minister for Sport and all, but it shouldn't undermine his achievement. You know, he went out there and did the work. He was the best politician at getting involved in sporting stories needlessly this year across the board. And just because he was the best at it, it doesn't mean that his natural advantages should work against him.
Yeah. Just to remind you, he did send out a picture of a slumbering Danny Healy. Which one? Is it Danny or Michael?
Danny, yeah.
Yeah, slumbering Danny Healy right at the All-Ireland Hurling Final. Is this a waste of a good ticket? In that kind of banterific way that Shane Ross communicates with the world. And Mr. Healy Ray.
I don't know why he just give out about himself like that.
What?
Has been a waste of a good ticket.
I know, he's on the picture, Danny Healy.
I know, it's a joke.
Did you think that... Anyway, Danny Healy
went to RT. He wasn't going to take this slight. I did nothing wrong by closing my eyes for a few minutes. I've been working hard all summer helping people.
Hey,
I have to say, one of the other politician things that happened at the weekend that I was very interested in was, poor Enda was there as Taoiseach for so long in the front of the Ard Cornelia as Dublin went up and collected the trophy, and he never got to do it. But it brought joy to my heart to see Leo in the smile on his face as his beloved, the Dubs, and their goalkeeper, Stephen Cluxton, came up to lift Sam Maguire. It was such pride and joy. And it was like, I mean, that team has meant so much to him over so many years that it really warmed the cockles of my heart, I have to say.
It was beautiful. Two more awards left to go. Here's the Babs Keating Award for Mid-Season Calamity in Offaly. It's a very, very specific award that we only give out once every about 20 years. So congratulations to Stephen Wallace. He's going to hold this award for 20 years.
Paul Rouse, of course, he had a very busy summer. He went from becoming the interim manager of Offaly to getting a promotion to doing co-commentary on the Pope's visit to Ireland on RTE.
Really?
Unbelievable. And big part of the game as well on the show.
Cracking hat on the Sunday game.
Oh, yeah?
They wore a lovely hat on the Sunday game.
I'm fairly sure. I walked into the house, my home house, as in the parents' house, and the Pope's visit was on RTE. And I only seen 2 minutes of the coverage, but I was like, is that Paul Rouse? I think that's Paul Rouse on co-commentary.
Mm.
Which is...
co-commentary.
It's a gig. I'm not sure how you actually go about getting it. Like, how do you go, do you know what? How did they decide Paul Rouse is the man for us?
Apparently a hugely respected historian and intellectual.
Yeah. They weren't going, that Offaly manager speaks a lot of sense. They knew him from his other role.
That's even a sports historian, really.
We do only give out this award every 20 years normally, but I wouldn't be totally surprised if John Mahon wins it next year.
John Mahon via, well, I mean, he'd want to get the skates on if they're going to stop his 5 in a row.
Or put the skids on or whatever.
Put the brakes on.
Put the skids / brakes / whatever. I always thought as well, salt of the earth was like, you know, giving out about someone. Because it just burns everything.
Oh my God.
Right, we've only one left to do. This is the 1608 O'Doherty's Rebellion Award for Forgotten Insurrection. And that goes to Roscommon for the Hyde or Nowhere campaign over the Connacht final. If you remember, yeah. Kevin McStay said this game is in Connacht, in the Hyde. We're going to be there, and I don't care where anyone else is. And they just relented, and there's no massive campaign.
Yeah, they were. That was just it. They were taking on the Connacht council and not Croke Park, as Kildare had to go for. Kildare, a bit of more of a Easter Rising sort of style insurrection, less forgotten. Who's the award named after?
The 1608 O'Doherty's Rebellion Award.
Oh, right, okay. My
beloved assistant, Mark, googled forgotten insurrection and slacked me the 1608 O'Doherty's Rebellion.
Sir Cathair O'Doherty.
That's it, by the way. They're all our awards. I don't think we missed anyone.
There was a late call for James McGrath to win it, but then he wasn't picked in the end.
James McGrath, actually, he rang us and said that a lot of his friends, family, and members of the local community said that he deserved. They thought that he should have been in that award.
Oh yeah. It turns out it's just football, but unfortunately, James has withdrawn himself from nomination for any further awards in the future. So when we do the hurling awards at some stage, he unfortunately won't be available to pick up his.
Keep an eye on this year's All Star Banquet. That Nudie Hughes Award has been adopted by the GPA. They're giving it out this year. Thanks everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone for listening to us throughout the championship. We're going on our winter break now, but we will be back next year. To play us out, you might see this video on our site. Friend of the site, as in employee of the site, Shane Cahill went down with a microphone and a camera on Jones's Road and asked unsuspecting fans to play the hot new quiz game sweeping the nation. It's GAA player or porn star. Take it easy.
We're here on Jones's Road on All-Ireland final day and we're playing GAA star or porn star. So I'm going to read out a list of names and I want you to tell me are they GAA stars or are they porn stars.
All right.
Bill Sex.
Porn star.
GAA star.
Porn.
He's a GAA star. Bill Sex plays GAA. PJ Sparks.
I'm not quite sure on that one.
Porn. Sounds like a Kerry name.
Porn star.
PJ Sparks is porn. Blue Panther O'Toole.
Porn.
It's not a porn star, it's a GAA star. Ryan Thumper.
We've seen him in Big Three there.
GAA. You're going to go GAA? Yeah. Who do you think he plays with?
Ryan Thumper is a GAA man.
Definitely a porn star.
Dublin.
Ryan Thumper is a porn star.
Good day, what's that movie?
Desi Moan.
Football, GAA.
Oh, he's a footballer.
Yeah, footballer.
Desi Moan. He was going with a Brazilian called Desi. She loved the Moan, she did.
Desi Moan's a GAA star.
Yeah, you know all these. Kind word.
Big Dick Clerken.
Oh, this is shocking.
Ah, GAA man.
Football.
Oh, he's a footballer? Yeah.
He's a football man. You know Big Dick Clerken?
Oh, I know all about him, yeah.
Yeah. Christy Canyon.
Porn.
GAA man. Played for who?
Football. Leitrim.
Porn.
Christy Canyon's in porn.
I know all that.
She's getting very suspicious.